General Kanile from Eastern Cape and the team. Honourable members, we convene today to get a report back from the visit we undertook in 2010 in Eastern Cape. You would remember that we were supposed to conduct a follow-up visit to the province to get a feedback from municipalities in terms of how they performed since our visit there. Unfortunately, because of the parliamentary program that could not allow us out, we resolved to request the MEC, the political head of the department and the SG, to come here and actually give us a consolidated feedback on all those issues that we raised. Our report was also sent to the province in terms of the report that was tabled to Parliament, and I'm happy to indicate that the MEC is here today to precisely give us the progress report responding to issues that we have raised as our findings, as well as to respond to our recommendations and give it indication as to how far they have moved in implementing those particular decisions. So, in brief, honourable members, that is the purpose of today's meeting. And that will be the only item for agenda today, or the issue that we will be deliberating on. At the moment, I move now to item number two, which is apologies. I have received an apology from the office singer Nkwala. I hope I pronounced it well. From the office of the AG in the Eastern Cape, they could not come given the short notice, but there is some colleagues from Western Cape who are here with us today, and then they have given us the information that we have requested, but they also submitted an apology. And from member side, I've got an apology from Honorable Bloom, Honorable Liz, Honorable Zulu, and Honorable Mazosie, who happen to be in the ad hoc committee on state of protection of state information. So, as you are quite aware that I'm also part of that meeting, but in light of attendance, I requested that I start with this meeting first. So, I've got those four apologies at the moment. And without any waste of time, honourable members, if all documents have been circulated, I will then allow Honourable Kaboshian to lead us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and members of the Select Committee present here, and good morning to everybody. Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, I think I must indicate and welcome the opportunity to come and feedback to the process that we have started in your journey when you visited the province of the Eastern Cape. Indeed, we are going to table a detailed report, which is quite voluminous, and I will request my Superintendent General to take and walk us through that kind of a detail. But let me preface this report by also taking a political responsibility to indicate to the honored members seated here that indeed our provincial state of local government report reflects the municipalities that are becoming vital cogs in the wheel for service delivery. And through our support as the department at provincial level, we are also trying to work very well to ensure that things that we have also observed in your visit are addressed. And we are going to give a detailed account per each municipality visited, and also indicate that the issues of traditional leadership transformation program are also bearing fruits. And I think we will highlight those specific areas. Our municipalities, Chairperson, which are the coalface of service delivery, are also primarily implementing arms of our own programs, trying to build better communities in the province of the Eastern Cape, with all the challenges that have been highlighted. And the seamless execution of the department-led plans prior and post the elections last year have also contributed to the relative stability, though there are highlights of areas, but we can indicate that there is relative return of stability in various municipalities in the province. And I want to confirm that to date, we are now knocking at above 96% of ward committees that have been democratically elected in that particular province, because this is one of the key areas that hinges on the stability of ward-based planning. If there is no clear direction at that level, all our IDPs will never see the light of the day. The undivided attention, Chairperson, was accentuated on the alignment efforts of various spheres of government for acceleration of service delivery. And we will cite one best examples to illustrate our point. And I think major highlights also include, but not limited, in the province of the Eastern Cape to the upgrading of various key anchor projects that we as the department are championing, including the presidential intervention in some of the municipalities, especially KSD, and the creation of a number of temporal jobs that we can declare standing at 2,400 as I'm speaking here. And all 45 municipalities were supported to develop and adopt their IDPs to achieve coherent service delivery. Before I conclude, Chair, I want also to indicate to this honorable sitting that in pursuance of the ANC accountability commitment, we signed service delivery agreements with all the mayors in the province of the Eastern Cape. And I also requested the same to happen when it comes to administrative heads of various municipalities, when it comes to municipal managers and CFOs, to sign the same service level agreement with the Superintendent General of the province, so that our monitoring mechanism can also be beefed up by clear, tangible targets that as a province we intend to see and monitor as a province, as well as the constitution that directs us to do exactly the same. And in this regard, our intergovernmental monitoring mechanism has been developed and it is in place in the province of the Eastern Cape. In line with our provincial efforts, Chair, to curb fraud and corruption, 22 investigations were conducted and tabled in municipalities for them to take action based on the recommendations. This is what I believe also is part of the visit that we conducted, but we believe it is proper for us to come and indicate to the Select Committee that we are on course to ensure that we reduce the scourge of corruption in municipalities by way of identifying that things are following law and legislation and treasury regulations to the latter. In collaboration with the Office of the Premier Chairperson, we have rolled out anti-corruption awareness programs in all municipalities, and furthermore, a provincial legal advisory forum was launched for legislative compliance in local government, because we have saw that there is a limitation of who advises municipalities on certain legal issues, and we decided to establish and create a forum of legal advisory at the level of municipalities, which I believe we were trying to address the issues of uniformity in the legal interpretation and sharing of the best practices. That is yielding results in the province of the Eastern Cape, and the litigation cost that used to be much more dominant in the meager resources of municipalities are showing signs of decline. And I think this is the best we believe. Chairperson, my department received an unqualified audit opinion for the year 2010-2011 and the past three successive years. And the flagship program of our own Operation Clean Audit Advancement, which enjoins us here, saw considerable improvements in the audit outcomes of various municipalities. We are moving up to deliver unqualified municipalities. Our aim is also to ensure that we deliver at least one clean audit outcome, which we have not yet received so far. But I think the scale is showing that there is an improvement in various municipalities. And I think, lastly, Chairperson, honorable members, the issues of the triple challenges, poverty, inequality, and unemployment, still confront us in a real way. And I am certain that if things are corrected at the level of the municipalities, where I believe it is an anchor and an institutional arrangements that municipalities, if they are perfectly and correctly organized, some of these things will yield positive results for the entire country. And we are forward with our fresh vigor to build efficient, effective, and accountable, as well as responsive local government system and traditional leadership institutions. That is by way of saying, Chairperson, we are a province at work. We are monitoring very seriously post the amended Systems Act, the employment, especially of the managers in municipalities, Section 57 and Section 56. Chairperson, I can, standing in front of this committee, confirm that we are directing municipalities to appoint people of skill, qualification, and competence. We don't want to yield any inch to compromise the standing of municipalities as well as councils in order to ensure that we are breathing life and meaning to this particular piece of legislation which this National Assembly has managed to promulgate. It is issues like those, Chair, that I wanted to preamble this report and formally request through your honorable agreement that the SG must walk this select committee through the issues that you highlighted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kwashani. Yes, the SG can lead us then on the presentation. You are welcome, Honorable Ma'am. Thank you, Ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to you, greetings to the Honorable Members present, my colleagues. I think the MEC has indeed given us the background in terms of the approach that we are going to be following and that we do follow. Once again, I think let's commend and thank the Select Committee for this opportunity that we are receiving to take you through the report. This is basically going to be the structure of our reporting. Honorable Chair, we would be basically focusing on those 12 municipalities that the committee visited in 2010, specifically highlighting the kind of support that our department does provide to the municipalities. We are guided indeed by the fact that we want to promote good administration, and we certainly believe that once we promote good administration, the good results in terms of the audit opinions will come as a result of that good administration. So briefly, that's going to be the structure of our report. We're going to be dealing with matters of the implementation of the Select Committee resolutions, the IGR as a lever for accelerated delivery, as well as the kind of support that we provide to those 12 municipalities. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to deal much with the introduction. I think the MEC has adequately dealt with this part in terms of what really drives us. Amongst the other issues, we are driven by the fact that we premise our district coordination on what we regard as critical success factor for sustainable service delivery. That is really what drives us. We want to ensure that municipalities are able to serve the communities in a sustainable manner. Now, one of the issues that was raised was the issue around what is called inter-sphere planning. And our view is that what we do should be guided by these principles, the national outcomes towards moving to Vision 2030, Provincial Growth and Development Plan. So this is a snapshot in terms of the sketch on issues that drive what we do. Quick issue relating to the alignment of IDPs to the PGDP. What we do, Honorable Chair, is that over years we do what is called IDP assessment of the municipalities to check if they are indeed credible, to check if there are areas where we can advise the municipalities to improve on, with a view to ensure that indeed the IDP becomes a planning tool as well as a service delivery tool. So these are the results of the assessments. You'll notice that most of the municipalities financial year 2009-2010 did not score that well. But there's been steady improvement of the municipality, so much so that for 2012-13 assessment or rating, we rated all these municipalities quite high. It does not necessarily mean that all is well. It simply means that there has been an alignment and that according to the assessment, they scored that much. Of course, we do work with these municipalities to improve in the areas where such improvement is required. Taking IDP to a higher level, we do provide guidance to the municipalities to on the importance of developing special development framework with demographics. We do work with the Office of the Premier in the province. Two sets of district-wide IDP engagements were held. Furthermore, the outcomes-based approach was introduced to ensure that there's an alignment with national, provincial, as well as local priorities. Now, let's come to specifically on the findings of the select committee. You, of course, conducted hearings across these 12 municipalities as a committee. You made findings as well as recommendations. This, therefore, indicates the progress that has been made since then in relation to these 12 municipalities. And I won't be focusing on all the issues, save for the recommendation and the response. Insofar as Mali Zwai local municipality, the issues, amongst others, were that the Budget and Treasury Office ought to be established as a matter of agency. That has since happened, and the CFO does head the Budget and Treasury Office at that municipality. Another one related to GRAP compliance. Honorable Chair, our response now is that there's been progress. There has been partial compliance now. So much so that this municipality has improved in the last financial year from disclaimer audit opinion to a qualified audit opinion, which for us is indeed progress. We're not yet there completely, but there's been significant progress. Another issue related to the verification of figures, insofar as the figures that were submitted to correct and to be accurate insofar as treasury figures are concerned. The municipality has indeed reported improvement in the accuracy of the figures. The other issues relating to the monitoring of issues relating to water contamination. Chair, I'm glad to say that this municipality does participate into what is called, into what we call the Provincial Water Forum in the province, which is held quarterly. Our Honourable MEC is a political champion thereof, and we have discussed the issues relating to Orange River water challenges to reduce ongoing water shortages in the surrounding communities. The eradication of bucket system, we do have a challenge, Chair, I must say, insofar as this matter is concerned, but we do receive regular updates in terms of how the municipality addresses this matter at Munimek. Munimek, by the way, I'll say something about Munimek. Munimek is an IGR structure that meets every 2 months in the province. And Honorable Minister Baloyi made mention of the fact that the Munimek in the Eastern Cape is one of the best, and in fact, he highlighted it as something that other provinces could learn from in terms of attendance, participation, and the execution of issues that get discussed at that level. These are further details relating to the issues of addressing the backlogs in Gwanza municipality. Chair, this is one of the municipalities in our province that is quite small, that is struggling to have financial resources because of the tax base. I think there has been a recognition that some of the municipalities are really struggling because of the level and the tax base in the area where they are. So these are the issues that were raised by the select committee. One of the issues raised was around the issues of compliance with acceptable salary percentage guidelines as stipulated under the Municipal Finance Management Act. We are working with Provincial Treasury to advise the municipality to ensure that as they develop their turnaround strategy within 3 months of the adoption, our response and progress that we can report is that this municipality has employed 2 SCM officers and 2 SCM interns, and is in the process of the selection to appoint the SCM manager. For us, this is part of formulation and the finalization of the turnaround strategy to address the challenges of this municipality, Gongobi Municipality. The other issue related to the intervening of the provincial leadership insofar as assisting this municipality with highly skilled officials. I'm glad to say that our department has deployed financial as well as supply chain management specialists to support and assist this municipality in financial management. Once again, this municipality has since improved from disclaimer to qualified audit opinion in 2010-2011 financial year. I'm going to run through some of these issues rather quickly. Some of the issues related to working together with other departments to ensure that monies owed to municipalities, in this case Mbashi Municipality, that these monies are paid. I'm glad to say that through partnership with our provincial treasury, Mbashi Municipality recovered close to 10 million owed by government departments. And here, this is a very important point because municipalities struggle to get money from residents. It's even worse when you have provincial departments or national departments for that matter not paying municipalities. So we then established a task team led by myself, made out of officials from provincial treasury as well as the office of the premier, so that we then on a monthly basis monitor payments that are owed by provincial departments to the municipality. I'm glad to say that indeed has resulted into some improvement in the municipalities. But we cannot also leave municipalities not blamed. They also have the responsibility to implement credit control measures so that those members of communities that can pay, that they do that. So that point is equally important. This municipality, Mbashi Municipality, has moved also from the disclaimer to qualified audit opinion for the previous financial year. We now move on to Jokabi District Municipality. Chair, this is a district municipality that has been infested by serious challenges. You will recall that it had problems with drought. They made an application to the National Disaster Fund. We did give them something, but it was not adequate to address the challenges that they've had. But we continue to support this municipality. We do meet with them. They have obtained an unqualified audit opinion for the financial year 10-11 as a district municipality. But the point for us is that it's not good enough to have a district municipality receiving unqualified audit opinion, and yet the local municipality underneath are struggling. So we always emphasize the point that says our support has to be in collaboration with the district municipalities to support the local municipalities underneath that district municipality. So these are some of the areas as part of the report back in terms of what we've done to support this municipality, as well as the implementation or rather execution of the recommendations made by this Honourable Select Committee. We move on to Imuza Hill Local Municipality under Owa Tambo District. The issues, amongst others, that were raised by the Honourable Committee here was the prioritisation of the operational capital budget because the poor are being compromised at the expense of the compensation of employees. We've interacted with this municipality. They have done made some headways in the improvement of the revenue collection in order to drop the current percentage of personnel. The other issue was around provincial treasury speeding up support to this municipality. I'm glad to say as well, Chair, that as a department we have deployed over a period of 3 years, so that we can then second and deploy these specialists to these municipalities that require support. Now, this support is based on the AG's findings. The AG will say, this municipality obtained a disclaimer, adverse, or qualification because of these reasons. So our support then is geared towards addressing those matters that result in the municipalities obtaining negative or poor audit opinions. So these are the specialists that we talk about here that have been deployed to these municipalities, including this one. Engqaba municipality, once again, we've been supporting this municipality. The issues that the committee raised, amongst others, related to the milk expenditure. This municipality has also done some improvement, or has registered some improvement insofar as the expenditure on the municipal infrastructure grant, the deployment of the CDWs, and the signing of the memorandum of understanding to guide the operations of the CDWs. Engqaba municipality still, as at the end of March, 755,000 has been paid by government departments to this municipality. I mean, we've got documentary proof of these things in terms of the improvement that has been made. Makana, quickly, this is a municipality that has been on the news for all the bad reasons recently, unfortunately. But this is a kind of support that we're providing to this municipality as well, particularly relating to, you know, infrastructure issues, service delivery to the poor. Waterless toilets have been erected in 3 settlements, namely Seven Fountains, Conningham, as well as some parts of Riebeeck East, as part of addressing the issues relating to service delivery in the rural communities and farming land. We move on to Emalahleni local municipality. Once again, same approach. The select committee had recommended certain issues, and that's what we have done to address those issues. In Nqaba municipality, this is a small municipality that is really struggling. It's a rural municipality with a very low tax base, so much so that recently we have had to second the municipal manager from the department, paid for by the department, as part of the recognition of the fact that there are municipalities that are just poor, and I want to believe that this is not the problem of only the Eastern Cape, but it's a national problem. But this is really one of the municipalities that is really, really struggling moving forward. Chrisani District Municipality. The issues there were around addressing of service delivery backlogs. 150 million was a short-term investment based on the cash flow, taking into account the issues raised. This investment was not meant to necessarily negate service delivery. This municipality also is a beneficiary of the support through what is called Operation Clean Audit Specialists. You know, Chair, my view is that this district municipality should not be struggling. But you notice that there are certain administrative issues that need to be addressed. Unfortunately, it recently lost the municipal manager, but we are in the process of filling that post. In fact, tomorrow I'm sitting at the panel to appoint, or rather to interview, the MM. And I think the point that Honorable MEC made is profound insofar as our role as a department in supporting not only in service delivery issues, but in the recruitment of Section 56 and Section 57 employees. I must say that as a result of our support and intervention and assistance, you will find that most of the people now, if not all, that get appointed are people that have got the necessary skills, expertise, and the necessary qualifications, because that is important. We have identified that area as quite important. But also, from the political side, you need to have political stability so that you don't have councillors interfering with the administration. But I'll touch on that point later on as I present. But these are the issues that come from that municipality. Ngushwa Municipality, once again, this is a municipality that we've recently seconded the acting municipal manager in the form of Mr. Sondaba. But specifically touching on the issue that the select committee had raised around the asset evaluation, this municipality has set aside an amount of 650,000 to complete the processes of valuation and componentization of infrastructure assets. This is scheduled to be completed sometime towards the end of this month. General comments that were raised by stakeholders and what the department has done, I suggest, Honourable Chair, with your permission, that I don't spend too much time on these matters. Attendance to leadership empowerment. As a department, we organized sessions around leadership empowerment involving Troika, involving the chairpersons of standing committees, as well as management on a variety of areas, on the roles of each of these political offices, on the interpretation of the Municipal Systems Act, and this is therefore an indication of how many people and who attended those sessions from each of those 12 municipalities. I must say, Chair, that we found those sessions to be quite stimulating and useful. And we took a decision that if certain members of a municipality were, for one reason or the other, unable to come, that we are going to be organizing further sessions. But this is just giving you a snapshot of how many people that attended from each municipality. Support that we're providing on financial policies. The department provided 13 municipalities with support in relation to these areas as they are listed today. The department is in the processes and such processes are underway to ensure that people and municipalities are workshopped on the policies and bylaws. Status on the establishment of the budget and treasury offices in those 12 municipalities. This is an indication, Honourable Chair. Bashi Municipality, there are 14 officials within that particular directorate. Gongobe, 13. Nguba, 16. Mushwa, 10. Imuzahil, 13. Jogabi District Municipality, 22. Malitswai, 24. Krisani District Municipality, 23. Ngobo, 19. Emalahleni, 12. And Ngwanga Municipality, 10. And then you'll see on your right-hand side is an indication of whether or not each of those municipalities has got the chief financial officer. And you'll notice that in some cases there are problems where you have the CFO suspended for various acts of misconduct. And we do monitor this to check the progress that has been made insofar as those matters are concerned. Status on the establishment of the audit committees. This is a status, an indication of whether a municipality has got its own audit committee or it is shared in that particular district. Internal audit units, whether they exist and whether they are co-sourced and whether they are outsourced from external service providers. This is an indication of the audit opinions over a period for those municipalities. You will notice, Chair, that for 2009 and 2010 financial year, the picture did not look that good. It doesn't look good either, even for 2010, 2011, but there has been an improvement. There has been an improvement. You've got two municipalities out of those that you visited that obtained unqualified audit opinions for 10, 11 financial year. You've got Mbashe and Gongobe that at least moved from disclaimer to qualified. Now, what we are then doing and saying, Honourable Chair, we are saying as a department, we need to ensure that at least those that have obtained either qualification or unqualified audit opinions, that at least they stay there and not regress, so that whilst we fight for others to be pushed up, but those that are up already at least stay at that level. It's not an easy toll. Honorable Chair, there are a number of factors that contribute to these matters. But we believe that we have to lead as a department and assist the municipalities. Like I said earlier on, our focus is to promote good administration so that the audit outcome comes as a result of what you do over a period. You know, A.G. Nwala will always emphasize this point, that people should not manage the audit. Don't try to do something in May or June, something that you should have done over a period, because it would not work. So our approach and our support is geared to say that over a period there should be sustainable good administration. These are some of the matters that I will suggest that I quickly go through without spending time on. Unbundling of assets, status, this is one of the issues that you had raised. The status of the unbundling of assets, the envisaged date for completion thereof, that's demonstrated there over the projector. Let me quickly run through this. Intergovernmental relations as a lever for accelerated service delivery. Chair, we honestly believe as a department that for municipalities to succeed in what they do, there has to be the collaboration of efforts. This silo approach and silo mentality does not work. Therefore, we are focusing on strengthening what we call intergovernmental forums. And this is a status. I'm a Tola District Municipality, convenes technical as well as political demafo sessions quarterly. Discussions are around issues of service delivery. Katatu District Municipality, it is functional. Alfred Nzo District Municipality is still being established, as well as at OR Tambo District Municipality. There's a bit of a challenge there in terms of the full functioning of these IGR fora. But once again, as a department, we are assisting the municipality, particularly OR Tambo, to ensure that this IGR forum is fully functional. Now, OR Tambo, Chair, I want to emphasize, is quite critical because it's within KSD. At KSD, as honorable members would know, we have the presidential intervention project there. And we want to, therefore, ensure that the district is postured in such a way that when we are gone, when we are no longer there, the district should be able to support the local municipality. So that's why we are paying a particular focus towards assisting our Tambo District Municipality. In fact, we can share with the honourable members here, we have developed an action plan to support our Tambo around the issues of MIG expenditure on institutional support, on local economic development, because we believe that those are key for them to be able to support KSD. Like I said, so that when this wonderful KSD Presidential Intervention Project is completed, you have the institution that is able to sustain itself moving forward. Nelson Mandela Metro is still being established. Terms of reference have been developed. So is the case at Buffalo City. Intergovernmental relations, we continue. I've made mention of this point that we've got what is called technical and political MUNIMEC. This is a forum that I chair at the technical level, that the Honorable MEC chairs at the political level, where you have all the mayors, the state-owned enterprises, provincial as well as national departments convening to talk about matters that affect the province as to how we can work together. And I must say, Chair, that they are very successful. I did make mention of the fact that the minister, on his policy speech, in fact, made mention of that point. There is cross-pollination on service delivery issues emanating from DEMAFO, which is a district intergovernmental structures, to the provincial level en route to what is called Premier's Coordinating Forum, which is a forum that is convened by the Honourable Premier at the province once again to ensure coordination of issues. The IGR's provincial strategy as well as the handbook tailor-made to address province-related IGR issues has been developed and practicalized IGR within the province and local government sphere. KSD intervention project, I've made mention of that. It's driven by our department. In fact, the provincial government said DLGTA should drive that intergovernmental structure in the form of the KSD presidential project, which I must say it's moving very well. I want to even cite from His Excellency, the President, when he was opening the House in the State of the Nation address, he stated that the implementation of Mthatha Revitalization Project, which is a presidential special project, is proceeding well. Let's quickly go to the municipal infrastructure grant. This is one of the issues that you had raised in terms of what is the expenditure levels. We took the comparative analysis for 10-11 financial year as well as expenditure to date as in like April 2012. And this is an indication. Engcobo municipality could not spend in that financial year the entire allocation. I'm once again glad to say that if you look at the progress that has been made, one would like to believe that there has been an improvement once again in the expenditure. Magana at the bottom there remains a concern. It does really bother us one to note that as at April, the expenditure was something less than 60% on MIG. That municipality chair has got serious challenges. That's a municipality that has recently suspended the municipal manager. And for me, it does link to the point that I made earlier on, that there has to be political and administrative stability in the municipalities for these things to happen effectively. But this is a quick picture on the trends and the expenditure. Support that we provide to the 12 municipalities as a department. Here we're talking about local economic development in the main. We financially assisted Joe Kabi municipality with 350,000 for the appointment of an LED expert. We assisted Maliswai municipality with 400,000 or just about for LED as well as local government elections. Chrisani, 671,000. These are the figures, financial figures, cash that we have supported these municipalities with. But what we do, Chair, we insist on them developing what is called a business plan to indicate how this funding is going to be utilized. We call upon them to give us monthly expenditure reports on these figures, where we give money and that funding is not for appointment of LED experts. But in most of these municipalities, this funding is for the appointment of these LED experts, which are stationed at the municipalities in order to assist them in this area of economic development. So these are the figures, and this is what the purpose was for such transfers to these municipalities. We continue with the further form of support that we provide. Look at Mbasha municipality. This is a municipality that we have assisted in a number of ways, as indicated. Like I said, we also seconded the municipal manager there. Gokobe municipality, we assisted that municipality with on the issues that are indicated there. Mushwai, Muzahil, Magana. Other support rendered by the department, indication of the figures there. Disaster management services, and a sum of 5.8 million is utilized for the construction of fire station in Ngobo in particular, as well as in other areas. But I think Disaster Management Center in order to coordinate the provincial activities. Because one of the challenges that we've had in the province is that there is the erective approach in responding to disasters. Now, once you have the center of coordination, we will be proactive, and we've been able to interact with weather services as well in order to deal with other issues, you know, to determine what, you know, weather patterns in order to preempt these disasters. And these are some of the issues, therefore, that we're dealing with at that level. Other support that we render the department, HR training. We provided technical training to 33 municipalities from Joburg as well as Chrisani District Municipality, focusing on stormwater drainage, bailout. Unfortunately, we had to give a sum of 1.5 million and an additional 1 million to Nuba Municipality during January and March 2011 to pay Eskom account. Eskom was threatening to switch off the entire area. This municipality was just unable to pay Eskom. We had then, unfortunately, had to come in to assist. Like I said earlier on, we've seconded acting municipal managers into these municipalities, Mbashe, Mushua, Nuba, CFO at Magana, as well as Nelson Mandela, by the way. It's not one of the 12, but we have assisted that municipality. I conclude by saying, Honorable Chair, that what is the road map ahead? You know, Honorable Members, we believe as a department that you need to have political as well as administrative stability in the municipalities for improved local government performance. Does that mean I must stop? Yeah, okay. So we are guided by that fact that for anything that we are doing to succeed, the environment must exist such that things happen efficiently and good governance is promoted. One. Two, we believe that we ought to strengthen district coordination to become a tool for accelerated service delivery. If there is no coordination, if the right hand does not know what the left hand does, you are bound to have problems. So working together, strengthening coordination and the spheres of government and the departments in the province, knowing what they are doing is critical. Fast-tracking participation of traditional leaders in local governance, the MEC has made mention of this point. Eastern Cape is a rural province. Traditional leadership are a factor there. So in terms of Section 81 of the Structures Act, it is clear that you have to allow traditional leaders to participate. But municipalities, Honorable Chair, struggle to even pay out-of-pocket expenses. So we've developed some guidelines in terms of how that ought to happen. But also in terms of synergy and working together, defining the role and responsibilities of these traditional leaders as they participate in the municipal councils is critical. It's very critical because that will then ensure that all the issues that I spoke about, whether you're talking about IDPs, whether you're talking about budget formulation, that as municipalities go to communities, they found the ground fertile, and it can only be fertile if there's that working together. This point is also important around fraud and corruption in local government. It's critical. The MEC has already said we have commissioned investigations in 22 municipalities in the province over a period of 24 months. That should say something in terms of appeared in Magana, but we're able to work with APSA to go and read even PIN codes and access people that have had access to the computers. And we found that some of Isha's internal were implicated. So for us, this is what really drives us to ensure that we deal with these matters. The last part one is an issue relating to financial management in the department itself and the municipalities. Now, it is important that before we focus on the municipalities, that within the department we clean our house as well. And we are not apologetic in so doing. We've reported, for an example, recently before SCOPA in the province as well as the portfolio committee, that unfortunately we had to dismiss three of our officials, including our former CFO, for a project that happened some time back. And what for us is important is that irrespective of where this thing happens, we need to be able to deal with it decisively. So that we bring hope, because it's about bringing hope in the midst of doom and gloom, particularly in local government. The final point is around monitoring implementation of service delivery agreements. Once again, the Honorable MEC has made mention of the fact that he signed the agreements with all the mayors. So did I sign the agreement with the accounting officers, all 45 accounting officers in the province. Now, what we then do on a quarterly basis in what are referred to as minimac sessions, we require municipalities to give an account in terms of progress that will have been made in the execution of service delivery targets and achievements that are contained in those agreements that the MEC signed with the mayors, that are signed with the accounting officers. So very clear. So that's really the expectation. And for us, it's part of doing exactly that, monitoring implementation of these things. But internally as a department as well, we are interacting with the municipalities so that we don't wait for a minimum session that will take place on a quarterly basis, that on a frequent basis you are able to check what is happening insofar as the implementation of the things that we will have agreed upon that they ought to be implemented. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kanyele and MEC Ocean. Honorable members, that is the report. It's time to interact with the report. Let me take Honorable Montisi Makubela, Dibier, and Mashile in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my apologies. I'm in another meeting and I have to go back. But hopefully my questions will be answered before I leave. My apologies, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have been to the Eastern Cape, to all these municipalities as a community, and we have seen for ourselves the problems which are there, and also the lack of capacity within the various municipalities to manage the finances. And also we've been privy, fortunately, to the lack of delivery in those municipalities that we called and whose audit report were very adverse. Our colleague in his presentation, he has indicated that there are three officials who have been dismissed, and one senior official, I suppose. The problem, Chairperson, with dismissals is that people do not account for the wrongdoing that they have done, and people do not provide information to implicate themselves about issues that they have done. referred to the issue of how many officials have been arrested as a result of the corrupt practices that they found out. He says that this capacity has been set and the investigation has been taking place for the past 24 months. This is what our colleagues say. In the past 24 months, Chairperson, my question is, how many have been arrested? And how many have been convicted? And whether the department has a relationship with both the Office of the Public Protector in order to do additional and thorough investigation, or they only rely on their internal capacity to do that. But lastly, Chairperson, is the issue of the relationship they have with the National Prosecuting Authority. Do they have any or they do not have any? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. My first question will go to the MEC. Or let me start here. If you read your Bible, you find that Bethlehem was not a place where Jesus would be born. And the Eastern Cape, I'm sure, is the place where we cannot see that we can get role models as you are today. I'm sure you can take this committee as your mentor in order to bring you up. I won't be surprised if one day we can say, just go to Eastern Cape, get the MEC, you see how do they go. If you check this report, you really came out of number one. Now my question, MEC, you put so nice this service service agreement with the mayors, number one. But my question is, if I may ask, is this service agreement linked with the service bonus? If yes, at what percentage are you looking at so that this person, after achieving this, can get what? If this not, they are not going to get. What are you going to do with those who are so-called non-starters? Since you put them there, they are just there, and some, they just be on the consecutive years, 2, 3, they don't move, and they don't reach the target. What are you doing about those people? That was for the Honorable MEC. Let me come to this place here. I will start with this roadmap. Roadmap ahead is for the presenter here. Presenter, you are still so young. I'm very much proud of seeing the young people who are so articulate like yourself. Keep up in that spirit. It's very interesting. I was looking at you. I said, you know, if I was just like you before, I'll be a wonderful person now. Keep up that standard. Let me see, that's your product. Let me come. You know, I will go to this uprooting fraud and corruption. Or before asking this question, I would like to suggest this roadmap. Just on your diaries, on your calendars, put them there so that all the calendars which you give to the managers, they must have these things. And to your grassroots, I can say in the police language, the war fighters, their pocketbooks or any other thing, they must have this thing in their pocket. For example, you just stretch out, I don't know how to put it, or to like the fraud. You said fraud is if you have done this and that and that and that and that and that. Corruption, they just see it on the newspaper. They don't know what is it. You know, at your offices, you find that those who are coming with the claims for officials also, if he or she doesn't go with the chocolate, the claim will remain there until financial end, and it tells you that no man, we can't pay you. It was put there because you don't go there with a cold drink or chocolate. Those type of things. Okay. You said Inkwaka local municipality. You said they relied on consulted because they could not produce the financial statement because of lack of expertise, and you came there with the recommendation. Municipality is small. Here it's a spring statement. You are saying the response. The municipality is very small and what. If I may ask questions here. How are you going to rectify this thing? Because it's a problem. It's in the rural area there. Do we have any strategy in order to rectify? I can see what we have suggested and the recommendations, but the implementation of the recommendations. And again, on bullet number 2, you said ILM compensation employee or budget is 49% of the total operating budget. And you are saying there at the end, collaboration with the provincial treasury advise the municipality to consider the right sizing. How are they going to go about this? Because if it is the right sizing, myself as a committee member, I'm just thinking about the discharging of other groups. Do you right sizing or you transfer them to give another job? I don't know. You will explain to us. At Makana, you talk about the post which has been advertised. Already has been advertised. I want the end result. When is the interviews, such type of after interviews, when will be the appointment? Okay, I'm coming. This place is Chris Honey. Malitswa, yes. No, not Malitswa. Chris Hane, Ingobo, Malahleni, Ikwanka, they are sharing the audit committee. For how long are they going to share? Because these others have their own. Let us come to term of submission, this one, the reports. I'm seeing in over here, disclaimer. Emalashini, disclaimer. Ikwanka, access, disclaimer. I know it's a difficult task to get these people to have unqualified or a clean audit. As we are looking to 2014, how are you going to go about getting these people in order to take you up to Canaan, which is 2014 clean audit? wish of giving us the report before time, you will get a lot of questions. Okay. I think, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Honorable MEC and the HOD of Gokdan in that province. I hope you picture to us the real picture. What's the reality at grassroots level? Because that's what we work with. And this committee will be going back to do a follow-up with those municipalities. We are also here to learn from each other, and I'm very interested in the way you go about with your what you call it, MUNMAC. Yeah. I'm taking that back to my provincial conference that's starting tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock in Upington. Yeah, in Northern Cape. So I've got something to take there from this meeting. On page 13 of your presentation, referring to Nkwanka local municipality on the right-hand side at the top, you refer to in terms that are used in the municipality to do the financials. This municipality went from adverse to a disclaimer in terms of the Auditor General's report. My municipality, Kamiesberg, in the Northern Cape, was in the same situation. And we engaged with National Treasury and DBSA, and they assisted us with warm bodies. And it's turning around. It's working. So that's a way to go. We can assist you to link you, but it can't be done because DBSA has also got a pool of expertise in the finances as well as in the technical sections coming from the CGN Samansi program. Just that on that municipality. There's supposed to have been a local government fiscal framework summit in February. We're still waiting for that to come, addressing the issues of the small municipalities. The engagement or the action plans from National Treasury and National COCTA in terms of our recommendations of our committee report, what did they do in the Eastern Cape, in these municipalities? Were they there? If yes, what did they do? Because in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, they're supposed to support local government and the provincial departments as well. The oversight role of councillors, did you address that in all your interventions that you have mentioned in your presentation? Because that is an area we will have to focus on more seriously. As we have an oversight role as members of parliament, councillors also have an oversight role to play. And then chapter 4 and chapter 8 of the MFMA, referring to budget, chapter 4 and chapter 8, the responsibilities of accounting officers. The monitoring that you are doing as a provincial department to see that these people comply in terms of the MFMA regulations. And then the Honorable Chairperson, this province is very fortunate to have four universities, one at Mthatha, one at Fort Hare, Roche University in Grahamstown, and Nelson Mandela University in Port Elizabeth. The old UPE, that's where I studied many, many years ago. Do you have a partnership, or how do you utilize the expertise in these universities, academic institutions, to enhance and advance specific financial management in local government? Because I think you have a golden opportunity to make use of those people, and even to send the personnel in local government financial units for training there. we're still battling in the Northern Cape to get our university. It's going to be built, and the doors to be opened in 2014. That will be a glorious day. Thank you, Chair.
Actually taking any resolution on the basis of these audit committee reports, and what sort of actions? Because surely, Chair, what I'm trying to say is that if these audit committees are functioning properly, we should be seeing a move on the audit outcomes in the correct direction. But if the audit outcomes stay stagnant or regress, that means one of the oversight structure like audit committees then is not functional, because they're supposed to be ringing the bell in time when certain things are not going right to actually achieve better outcomes. Now the question is, these audit committees, how are they functioning on the ground? What happens to their reports? How many municipalities actually, how many councils actually find themselves debating a report from the audit committee? Are these municipalities really indicating to yourselves that they are using the audit committees properly? Because surely audit committee members, I think, are outside people, which means when they sit in the meeting, then they have to be paid. But are we getting value for money? Are they just meeting for the sake of meeting and then that's it? Because surely their functionality must be reflected in the audit outcomes. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. Just to question honorable members, I request that focus be on the municipalities that we visited, as the purpose of today is to get a report specifically on those. I know in terms of the audit report that you have all 45. But for purpose of this meeting, if you could just focus on the 10 that we visited as the ones that you want progress. And let me also welcome the report, MEC and the SG, and also express my appreciation on the improvement on the 5 municipalities that have shown improvement in the previous year's audit report from where they are. Just a pity that one regressed and those others are still there, but we also appreciate some interventions that you have put into place. And we will, of course, be monitoring the situation, including visiting those others that we could not reach last time we were there. Time permitting, will soon be coming back to Eastern Cape to interact with other municipalities. But I would also want MEC, in your reply to some of the questions raised by honorable members, to reflect on the measures you are putting in place, because one of the key issues that the AG raises a concern, which you find applicable mostly in those municipalities that are stagnant, being failure by key leadership to take ownership of control issues, as well as a lack of consequences for transgression. Because that one is even key, because there is this tendency in government employees of just getting themselves involved in all sorts of transgressions, knowing very well that there won't be any consequence. And in the process, we find ourselves in deep trouble trying to get things right. So I was interested to hear yourself or the SG talking as to what is it that you are doing now to make sure that there are some consequences. I noted the steps you are taking in terms of investigations that are going on and the disciplinary hearings that have already resulted in some officials being dismissed, which my members requested you to give some more details in terms of those that have been where criminal investigations or criminal steps have been taken. So if you could briefly, in your response, touch on those and thank you. The floor is open. Okay, SG.
Section 106 of the Systems Act, for an example, provides, far more than what Section 154 of the Constitution provides, far more than what Section 139 of the Constitution provides. I just wanted to put that in the context that sometimes there are those limitations which I do trust honourable members are aware of. Now, we are, however, steadfast in ensuring that where we can, and there are a number of cases where we have intervened, we have assigned investigations, and we have said to a municipality, this is what must be done. And we give you directives to ensure that these things are done. Sometimes municipalities will come with all sorts of explanations why some of those things may not be executed to the letter. But we certainly follow up, and we can give the details where we have said to Nelson Mandela as an example. It's a municipality that you did not visit, but it's one example that comes on top of my head where we have said to the municipality, cancel this lease agreement, institute disciplinary action against these individuals because they've committed acts of misconduct and we've got proof. But once again, it then becomes the responsibility of a municipality to do that. And what we then do is to follow up that gets done. Now, that's a context within which I wanted to deal with some of the issues. But insofar as the first issue that relates to the roadmap, certainly we will follow up these matters. It's for us, it's not something that we will strike to do because these are the things that we do. But we want to ensure that these matters are not only followed up departmentally. Municipalities must also ensure that they take it upon themselves to ensure that, you know, naturally you would assume that any civil servant should know that when we are in the responsibility of being accounting officers, that you are managing public funds, you know, and that when you don't comply with the Municipal Finance Management Act, that some action needs to be taken. And Mr. Ngwala is quite correct, that in some cases you don't see the type of aggression in taking disciplinary action against people that have transgressed. You don't see that as much as you should in the municipalities. And in some cases you find that when you have a municipal manager that is firm, that is interpreting the law, you have councillors that say, no, he's not the right person because he's not doing what they would like him to do. We've had an example of Buffalo City, for an example, where councillors have taken a decision to upgrade themselves from a grade 5 to a grade 6 municipality. Our honourable MEC has been very decisive to say, because the law enables us to provide concurrent approval, we are not going to give that because you don't comply with the law. So we can cite a number of examples in that regard. Now, we'll do that in terms of the roadmap. I think that was also a comment. Insofar as Ngwanta Municipality, Ngwanta Municipality is quite a small municipality. Like I said, that is, I hope I'll be able to find it quickly. It's a small municipality that is struggling to like we are saying, to get people. You know, reality, Honorable Chair, is that in these rural small municipalities, you will struggle to get people to go there and work there permanently and over a long period of time. When they get there, they acquire experience and skill, and the next moment they move. That's the reality. Now, our view as a department is that, and this is the matter that we are discussing nationally, that you need to have a different financial or fiscal regime for such municipalities. Because you can try to milk this bowl, but milk will not come out. So we are then saying we need to do something different. You need to look at another dispensation to say, how do you, out of the national fiscus, how do you fund municipalities that for whatever you can do, they are just unable to get revenue because of the rural nature, because of the poverty levels, and because of where they are, you know. But that does not take away the fact that municipalities need to do something around the implementation of credit control measures. So, Chair, our view, and we've analyzed and diagnosed this thing, and we've come to the conclusion that in what some municipalities has got those challenges. When we are saying right-sizing the organogram, we are saying, remember who you are. Don't, therefore, pay people outside what you can afford. And this is linked to the issue of performance management. We've been hard on some municipalities that have paid their Section 57 employees performance bonus when financially, you know, figures indicate that they can't afford that. You know, recently we met with Gariep Municipality. We've said to them, Mayor, there's no way that your municipality should approve that these managers be paid Section A performance bonus when you are unable to afford to pay your creditors. So that's why I'm saying our approach is that the municipality live within your purse. Apply austerity measures. I've said, for an example, to the MM of Gariep Municipality, I'm sorry to make a specific example. I've said to him, Budi, you can't fly on a business class when your municipality is struggling like it is. There are things that are frills that you should stop doing. But remember, honorable members, we can only recommend and tell the municipality to do those things. They are the sphere of government, the constitutional establishment, they've got original powers. We can't strangle their neck to make them do what we want them to do. We can only recommend. So that's why I started off by saying, unfortunately, we operate within that, without that particular dispensation. So that's what we mean there, to say there are specific matters that we advise the municipalities to do moving forward in order to cut the purse and apply austerity measures in order to enable them to survive. The other question related to posts that have been advertised at Magana, progress that has been made, we can certainly follow up on that matter. I don't have a specific answer to say when will they sit for interview and shortlisting an interview. But what I can say is that fortunately, and this applies in all cases now, when a municipality is ready to conduct the interview, or rather, in fact, the shortlisting and the interviews, they certainly advise us as a department. So in most, in fact, if not all cases where the MM post ought to be filled, as well as the Section 56 post ought to be filled, we participate. So they will certainly advise us. We will, however, ensure or see to it that we ask them to speed those processes. Indeed, Chair, it does promote stability when you have the senior administration or administrative posts filled in the municipalities. A sharing of the internal audit as well as audit committees, the shared services. Honourable Chair, our view is that you can't run away from the shared service model. It must be done. It can be done, but it must be done properly. Our view is that we should monitor the effectiveness of those audit committees, because you have municipalities. Take the case of Amatori District Municipality. It's geographically very vast. It includes areas like Nkongobe and Nguba municipalities. Those municipalities, like I said before, repeatedly now, the Nguba municipality is struggling financially. So it's better to have the district municipality to support those smaller municipalities. The key question for me is, how effective is that shared service model? And how do you monitor the effectiveness thereof? And it can be done up until you are able to then ensure that that local struggling municipality is able to stand on its feet. So I have no qualms with the shared service model. The question is, it should exist for as long as that municipality is unable to sustain itself, but it must be monitored to ensure its effectiveness. Disclaimer, audit opinions, Operation Clean Audit 2014, how do we achieve it? Chair, this is a national program launched by COPTA nationally to say by 2014, we want to have all municipalities in the country having achieved clean audit opinions. We are pursuing that program with the necessary vigor, and I must reiterate, Honorable Chair, that we've made progress. There has been an improvement. It's not as exciting as we would have liked it to be, but I did make a mention that you have municipalities that have moved from disclaimer audit opinions to qualification, or to some areas unqualified audit opinions. So for us, that's progress. If you look at the 45 municipalities of the province, out of the 9 municipalities that had obtained unqualified audit opinions in the previous financial year, 9-10, in the 10-11, we had 13 municipalities. So there's an improvement of 4 municipalities. That for us is an improvement. What we are therefore saying, you see, Honorable Chair, the reasons why you have problems that you have in the municipalities is as a result of a number of problems, many problems, political problems, administrative problems. You know, you have problems with, in some cases, people that are employed in positions that are not suitable for those positions. It's a fact. We can't run away from that. What do we do as a department? We say to the municipalities, capacitate these people, train them, because they are already in the system. You can't wish them away. But moving forward, ensure that you employ people who have the necessary skills and the competence. That's one issue. Number two, councillors should do what they are elected to do. That is to play the oversight role, to take council resolutions, but not to interfere in the administration to say, I want that service provider to provide the cell phones. Because that's not a duty of a councillor. Allow the accounting officer and his or her administration to do what they are employed to do without interference. You know, and we always make an example with our department. You've got an accounting officer, you've got the MSC. Our MSC says, Kanyele, run the administration, because that's what you are employed to do. I'm going to play the role of supporting you and create an environment for you to do your work, because that's what we are employed to do. More often than not, Honorable Members, that is not happening in the municipalities. It's not happening. I said here, we seconded an acting CFO to Magana Municipality, somebody who's very competent, who's got a degree, who's got the necessary skills. She spent 2 months. Magana Municipality took a decision to say, we don't want this official. MEC, take her back. We want another one. Why? Because Namhla Dlulane said, you can't take this decision because it's wrong. This is not what you are supposed to do as councillors. So I'm saying reality should remind us that we live in an environment where you've got, unfortunately, not in all cases, but unfortunately you do have cases where people want to hear what they like and want to agree with what they like. I always believe that I must speak my mind, whether someone likes it or not, but for as long as I've got a conviction and I know legally that what I'm saying is correct, I must say it. So I'm therefore saying that's another problem. The third problem you have in the municipalities is this lack of prioritization. You get people receiving money for MIG and use it for other purposes. It's a fact. It does exist. What do? You say to a municipality, don't use municipal infrastructure grant for operational expenses. You know, but people do that. And you can only say, well, we'll investigate you and ensure that you don't do it and take steps against you within what we can do. So I'm saying, for me, it cannot only be just about the disclaimer. It's about the entire administration and the problems that you have in the municipality. That's why we developed what is called the local government turnaround strategy, to begin to say, over a long period of time,
how do we address these problems? But let me assure you, Honorable Chair, I sit here not doubting the fact that we will get it right. It may take a bit of time, but the little achievement, let's note it. But we will certainly, because we believe, you know, because we certainly believe that we will get it right. In Gwanza Municipality, thank you very much, sir. I think it's something that we will note. We'll take that matter up, interact with National Treasury and DBSA in order that we assist that municipality over and above what we are doing. The oversight role of councillors, I think that's indeed a challenge. I honestly believe that some of the councillors that we have do not have the necessary skill and knowledge to play that role. It's a fact. Some people may not like it, but it's a fact. Now, you need to ensure that councillors are able to ask hard questions to the administration. Ask your accounting officer, your MM, where is the Section 46 report? Where is the PMS report? Why is this happening? So indeed, not all councillors are really effective in playing that oversight role. And I think I would like to link this with what is on page 27. I think this is indeed answered. The finding was the audit committee of the audit committee of all municipalities had not addressed the councils. And the recommendation was that, that was the finding by the committee. And our response, Honorable Chair, is that maybe the first bullet is not really taken to that, but the idea here is to say, in order to enable the council, first of all, because it is the council, before you even get into the audit committees, the council must be able to play that oversight role. Now, the department is then Honorable Mashile, the department has then conducted those sessions with the speakers, the mayors, the chief whips to strengthen that. But in addition, we have convened, it says the session of the chairpersons of audit committees, as well as chairpersons of MPACs, Municipal Public Accounts Committees. So our view, therefore, Honorable Chair, is that that part was an attempt to address that role or that deficiency moving forward. I must say that recently we have also conducted the MPEC training by the Association of Public Accounts Committee. They visited the province, three or four regions, conducting training as part of an attempt to ensure that members or rather municipal councils play their role. But I do hear what honourable members are saying, that if these audit committees were effective, we probably should not be having this level of or these many disclaimers. And one can only concede to that, perhaps something is not happening the way it should happen. Because indeed, I think it is true. I mean, one cannot deny the fact that we should have moved much better than we have. But it's something that we note, it's something that we acknowledge, it's something that we are saying we are committed to see to it that it is addressed moving forward. But I do want to reiterate the point eight, the point that says it will probably take many forms of interventions and assistance to the municipality to turn the tide moving forward. There's a question around the monitoring role, the regulations around the MSA. Indeed, absolutely correct. In fact, once again, I'm delighted to announce and mention that I'm sitting at the national team that is reviewing the regulations on the Municipal Systems Act. Remember, we have got an act, the Systems Amendment Act, that was promulgated last year in July. It's got its own flaws and deficiencies. It does. Flaws in such a manner that there are certain specific matters Section 57 and Section 56 employees? Who takes that decision? How can it be extended? Can it be extended? How do we renew? And again, people use the word renew and extend interchangeably, which is incorrect. You can only extend an existing contract. When the contract comes to an end, you renew that contract. But unfortunately, the Act does not specify how do you renew the contract, except what is provided for in terms of Section 56(7)(c) of the Systems Act, which simply says that it can be by agreement between the parties. But that's not enough, because across the country, you have municipalities interpreting that differently. So that's why, as a department, we have then said, these are the guidelines. This is a circular on how we deal with these matters. And we've been very clear around the issues of the role of the MEC in giving the concurrent approval for the extension, what is regarded as the renewal, the acting capacity, who can act, because all those areas have been somehow grey. So the point, therefore, that I'm making is that we are tightening up issues relating to the implementation of the Act in the province through the circular, but nationally as well, we are finalizing the regulations on the Municipal Systems Act that was approved, adopted by Parliament last year. This is over and above the regulations of 2006, because the regulations of 2006 to Municipal Systems Act are not good enough in my book, in terms of addressing some of the flaws that we've seen in the Act. So indeed, we believe that those tools will assist us to tighten the belt and monitor what municipalities are doing. Indeed, I agree with the point that says we are blessed in the province to have so many tertiary institutions. You know, recently we met with Fort Hare, Honorable MEC. We met with Fort Hare, and this is the point that we raised, that we, and by we I mean that both the department as well as the municipalities, we're not making optimal use of the tertiary institutions, indeed, but we are making some inroads. We want to formalize that relationship. And in fact, even A.G. Nwala has made that point repeatedly, to say, how does a municipality like Buffalo City continue to receive a bad audit opinion when there's Fort Hare around the corner? Because you could take students, even students, final year students, to assist you on these matters at no cost. So, I mean, it's a glaring observation that we are only happy to indeed once again agree with and check back to say how do we to look at how we implement it. Our MEC, for an example, met with Professor Makanya only last week, because the UNISA is looking at even extending their base MTAT by having more buildings to accommodate an increased number of students that they have. I'm saying, therefore, here's another opportunity. UNISA is being added. UNISA has always been there, but I'm saying it's even extending. They're looking for more buildings to accommodate students. So for me, I couldn't agree with that point more. It's safe to say that we are going to take it up and ensure that something is done about it. I've responded to the question on page 27. There's a question around specialists. Chair, 2 years ago, we, once again, just to reiterate this point differently, we felt that because the department may not have the necessary capacity to be in each and every municipality where there are problems, we then took a conscious decision that said, let's recruit what we call specialists. And we were very clear in terms of which areas of expertise should these specialists have. So we, in our advert, we targeted those areas. What are these areas? For an example, financial management, supply chain issues, issues related
relating to financial management, VAT reconciliation, reporting, compliance in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act. But we went above issues of finances because we were driven by this belief that when you want to change the picture at the municipality, you're going to have to look at something more than just financial management, because there are other indirect issues that may have some impact on that. So within the 30 specialists that we designed ourselves to recruit, oh, by the way, we have not recruited 30 as yet, although we had said we wanted to recruit 30. I think we've got about 21 now. So these people then have got knowledge and qualifications and skills in those areas. They get deployed to the municipalities to assist those municipalities in those areas. They are employed over a period of 3 years. They've signed the performance-based agreements which get reviewed annually, because we give them targets. These are the targets that you have to achieve. Annually, we assess achievement of those targets against what we will have stipulated in the agreement. But in some cases, Chair, again, it comes back to the point that I made earlier. You find that these specialists go there, but they are matters, call it if you want, matters beyond their control that make them unable to achieve their targets. In some cases, and reality will tell us that these are the problems that we have. But where it is possible to achieve certain targets, they do. But another challenge is that these people sometimes will get removed from these specialist areas to perform other responsibilities in some municipalities. I've given you an example to say, Mbasha municipality, we had to take one of these specialists to go and act as an MM there, because they had no MM, and they made a request to the MEC that we deploy the municipal manager. Same went for Buffalo City, they had no MM, we did the same. Same for Nelson Mandela. So we've got about 4 or 5 municipalities now wherein you've got municipal managers who are coming from the department. For me, that just illustrates the degree of the problems that we have. Another point, I think I'm almost there, 3 points to go. Corruption. What sorts of corruption are we talking about? Have people been arrested? Are we just singing this thing, or are there tangible results or demonstrations that we can illustrate? Let me start with the department. You know, we like I said, we have people that we have dismissed. Now, Chair, whether you report a matter to the law enforcement agencies depends on the nature of the offence that has been committed. But the primary focus is that recover what has been lost by the state. And in the case of the department, we have recovered what has been lost, or what, and also what potentially would have been lost. For an example, in that case, you had 33 companies that took the department to court on the basis of breach of contract, because contracts were signed. But because of being steadfast and being convinced of what we want to do, we didn't budge. In fact, we went to court to obtain a declaratory order such that those companies, never again pursued us, save for one. So I'm saying that's an example, a classical example. In Alfred Nzo, for an example, we had a case wherein we worked with SIU. Those officials were arrested as a result of the acts of misconduct. So you do have examples of, I can't remember all of them, but I'm saying, we can even make available, if so required, areas, the number of officials that were arrested in the municipalities as a result of our intervention
in terms of ensuring that we deal with this issue of corruption and graft. So we're not singing this song. We are certainly moving forward to address these matters. Honourable members, we don't do these things because it's a buzzword. We do these things because we believe it's the right thing to do. Whether there are questions being asked or not, this is something that we want to continue to do. Meek expenditure, the Eastern Cape municipalities should be spending because of who we are. Certainly, I couldn't agree with this point more. That more than any other province, for that matter, we shouldn't be having money going back to national treasury like it did happen, unfortunately, in the case of OR Tambo District Municipality, where 106 million had to go back to national treasury because at the end of the financial year it remained unspent. Unfortunately, it's a fact. It happened. What are we doing about it? Our view is that we are insisting on the municipalities to give us expenditure trends so that we don't wait for towards the end of the financial year to be told that this municipality has not spent. We monitor to see at this time this is how much you should have spent. But once again, honourable members, there are things that can be done by the department and there are things that must be done by the municipalities. I think we as a country, we should really be able to call people to account more and really be decisive. And it's not only the department that must do that. This machinery must fire from all cylinders. We must be convinced that if SG Stan Kanyele does not deliver in his job, he must leave. Because it should not be about friendship. It must be about, can this individual deliver the job? And if he can't, he must leave. That's why we make people to sign performance agreements. I've signed my performance agreement with the MEC, and I said to the MEC, I'm going to deliver you clean administration in this department. I'm going to deliver you unqualified audit opinions. And if I don't deliver that, I must go elsewhere. It's as simple as that. But I'm saying, I can do it, we can do it in the department, but it must happen everywhere else. So for us, that's what drives us. The last point is about the, I think I've touched on this point around the audit committees, to say that in our view, we've done what we believe we could do under the circumstances to capacitate them, to train them. It's not an event. It cannot be an event. It ought to be an ongoing process. And I do honestly believe that we do have a plan in place to make it a point that systematically it is achievable, and I have no doubt that we will succeed. Thank you very much.
I didn't speak last time, but I need to, I only make a comment, if you allow me, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think Advocate Kanyele has touched virtually all the issues. It's the areas that specifically was asked about, the service level agreement signed between MEC as well as the mayors of various municipalities. It is correct, Chair, that we could see that it is necessarily inappropriate for us to adopt a 2014 clean audit year if people are not conscientized before time, that as an executive mayor, you originate original powers of finish to do his own or her own bit, there is a requirement by the Honorable Speaker to convene a council in terms of compliance to approve certain decisions that are recommended by the executive. But if the Speaker, because of political bickerings, is not calling that particular meeting, it creates the entire environment to be muddy. And we also said speakers as well must be part of this value chain. The reason was that you are seeing in municipalities the troika disagreement and the troika lack of coherent way of working. And we said the role of the speaker, mayor, and the chief will become critical in terms of realizing some of the areas here. When the council is descending to chaos, those principal office bearers must be responsible. And I think it is now yielding results that they must also be responsible, because it's difficult for administrators if there is chaos at the head and there is no rule that has been set. All what we call is a municipal service delivery budget and improvement plan, which they adopt post their own adoption of budget, is not going to work if there is defocus at that particular area. And we believe that that instrument is also trying to direct a performance-based kind of institutions, which is also a result-orientated system, which we decided to factor in those particular service delivery agreements. I am also wishing to extend, Chairperson, an open invitation, which we will formalize to you and the leaders of this committee, to attend our next MuniMec, just to see for yourself, because the next sitting will be municipal mayors, politicians accounting about the work they have done in terms of what we are agreeing, because the past MuniMec was purely administrative and technical, so that all it's a platform we design as a department to ensure that state parastatals, national departments, provincial government is responding to areas of non-payment, as it was indicated, where we are getting a report of how many departments still owe municipalities in the province. What are we doing about that? What is the report from the Treasury about issues of expenditure patterns and so on? These are the areas where we decided to have that functional vehicle to ensure that we put as a window of coordination at the level of government, as a Department of Cooperative Governance, national departments, issues of water, electricity, and so on. That is a platform which I believe my IGR Chief Director back here must ensure that the next sitting and invitation is extended to you, so that you can see and get the first-hand information of what is really taking place. That is one critical area. Chairperson, you also asked the question of the weak of controls or control environment in municipality. This is true. What the AG is reflecting is correct. If we were in a position to give you figures of the wasteful expenditure as a total government in the province, let alone how municipalities are doing it, it's really a concerning issue. And it's just a Eliza's first situation. People don't realize how many rents and cents we are losing because of our weaknesses to internally control the environment. The repeat of adverts of employment and the chaotic situation which results to the re-advertisements, which are not necessarily taken serious by those that are doing it, that this is a cost to the public purse. And I think this is an issue, that the issue of the irregular expenditure in municipalities alone, let alone provincial government and other things, what we are calling irregular, people taking decisions knowing that they are wrong, set aside by courts and everything, cost of litigations and so on, these are the matters that we are pinning and drilling down. I can only say, Chair, it needs men and women of solid standing, people with a liver, to dispense this particular period. And I think if we can have managers of that level who don't fear to advise councils, and it's a message I'm carrying, a municipal manager is an accounting officer in terms of the law. Failure to advise a council to take a wrong decision, they are all guilty of But the problem is, Section 32 of the Finance Management Act is not yet ready kicking in, so that people can be forced to account of their own misdeeds using the platforms of law, like the councils and so on. And these are the areas which I believe we are now coming closer to it. Chairperson, before I conclude, we are part of the Provincial Anti-Corruption and Anti-Fraud Council of the province as the department. Because fortunately, according to what we call a minimum standard, it's what we have. At the level of a senior manager, if I'm correct, where we do have anti-corruption and anti-fraud functional directorate or unit, which is now helping in me. I've got with me here a document that is narrating all fraud cases reported in our own departments from one to the last. I can single out one, check, a cyberspace corruption, which is creeping in our municipalities. Very difficult to detect. People using all new technologies to rob the system in order to procure, pay, and release monies from the state of that smaller municipalities. Whether two portions of that being transferred to really not deserving individuals. The Lukanji situation, Queenstown, 7 million. But we have detected it now. We don't have constitutional powers to arrest ourselves. It's a criminal issue. We must report that matter to police. But we do have power to control the environment. The authority is rested in council to ensure that we are developing mechanisms and systems to arrest the situation in terms of financial management systems that are there, procedures as well as policies. People can be charged and be dismissed at work if they decide to loosen or weaken the systems of control for purposes of creating a system to be contaminated in order to detect these things after 7 years, 8 years, and so on, because it will be 10 rand today times 12 months times 3 years. Those are millions of friends. So these are the issues that we are now, because of this bare minimum kind of anti-corruption, the issue of tenders, smaller as they may. When I am a speaker, as a former speaker myself, I say this is a company that must ensure that food is ready every council. And it's a directive that I'm taking as the chairperson of council, flouting the same supply chain management, that I don't have that power delegated to select and choose among who must give service to the council of that nature. So these are the areas. Which is a company to give councillors cellular phones? And you get that decision being pronounced by politicians without following their own adopted supply chain management systems in terms of the law. And these are the things that are contained here. I want to say we are developing a minimum capacity as well at the level of municipalities. Because sometimes you can get a situation that people are just ignorant of these things. But I think we are in a position to confirm in front of this committee chair that we are on top of the issues. And my last point will be to say I visited Kouga Municipality as an example, delivering an investigation report there myself to the council. And it's good to indicate that there is a successful prosecution of people who are stealing from the public purse. 850,000 stolen by an individual in a smaller municipality like that one, prosecuted, charged, investigated. Now she is sentenced 8 years or 9 years. Because the case is clear, police could do their work successfully, and that official is now in jail from a municipality. These are best examples. As long as we are sure of what we do, and the police also do understand that the situation that we are operating under is not as easy as we may think. We can report issues and instances of corruption, but the tangibility of it is a very serious matter, because the system has been made to be much more fluid to gather evidence as soon as possible. And these are the issues that I believe are well canvassed and well attended to. And I think we used to have our own partnership with SIUSG. There is a problem there, Honorable Chairperson, I must say here. Maybe you can also assist. Cases are taking too long in those arms of state. I don't know what is the problem. 2-3 years up until even those officials are employed elsewhere. In terms of the new Amended Systems Act, anybody who is dismissed because of financial misconduct, that official may not re-enter the system up until 10 years last for that. Exactly. So I think failure to come to that conclusion will cause an official to move from municipality A to municipality B with this baggage of being a superstar in terms of robbing the system, because he has managed to understand and accumulated knowledge of how the system is manipulated. And I think the sooner we have early detection and early warning signs in the whole system of the local government state, I think for me it will be much more better. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, Honorable MEC, and Honorable Presenter, I'm not sure of, unless your position. I wasn't part of the visit 2 years ago in when you visited the Eastern Cape, but I read through the report of the committee last night, and I was very upset about everything that's going on, and this morning you gave me hope. I really appreciate the way you are tackling these problems. I like the way you look at it, the way you talk, and the way you handle it. And I believe that we can make it. I support you that if you say that we can make it. We can do it in this country. But we need people like you. Go ahead and do what you like. But also the issue that is standing out is that we as politicians have got a great job. We'll have to support people like you. We'll have to take political responsibility to see to the problems that you are having. Thank you and good luck.
That's a very positive note coming from the Honourable Becker. Thank you for that. Thank you, MEC, for your concluding remarks there. You referred to legislation that's restricting the department to intervene when you started your presentation. Not now. Can you forward to us what do you want? Because then we have to review legislation. It's also part of our job to go forward, to make it easier for you to have a monitor program on these municipalities. We utilize the FFC in my constituency, Albert Mashile in his constituency, to do training on councillors referring to their oversight role. Just a proposal, Finance and Fiscal Commission, Deputy Chairperson Bongani Kumalo. He was present with two of his lecturers. And then lastly, Chairperson, the MPEC. MPEC's got a structure to link MPEC to the faculties for commerce and financial management of the universities, where you can choose which one in your province to get that tie and that partnership. I think that's where you can start to get this going. Well done. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. This is a comment. A case of fraud is a very wide simple, so that if you charge a person by that one, go to the investigating officer and check as to whether there are alternative charges for served by false pretenses. You know, those things must come in. Now, which court is he going to place this thing? It's because of the weight of the evidence. Is it magistrate court where you're going to get only 25,000 application for refund? Is it the high court where you get 50,000? Or Supreme Court where you get 250,000? Check on that one. You add all the evidence statements so that you beef up those. Then during the trial, a senior person must go and give that. We lost this type of money amount. We need a refund of this in front of the money. Same time, he given a verdict and order to pay back. Thanks.
Chair, I have got nothing except that we must find a way that specific municipality, what's that? Malswai, the one that's still having bucket system. Please, bucket system, I think, has got problems with human dignity. I don't know which human beings are actually emptying those buckets now. Can't be my brother. Can't be my father. I think we might just get that thing right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honourable members. I think we have come to an end of this meeting, but let me thank the MEC and the team for the job well done. I must appreciate progress reported in terms of the issues that we have raised. As Honorable Makube had indicated, So far, you are the first province that we visited. We're not, in your case, we called you here to come and give us a feedback, and it's a positive one. Others, we went back and called those municipalities, and the situation was even worse than when we were there. So really keep it up, and then at least this is a story of hope. Like Honorable Berger is saying, you have given us more hope that at least there is some. If Eastern Cape can do it, it means other provinces can do it. It's just a question of getting the right people to do the job. Something that is lacking currently within the country, including the type of politicians that we have who don't have serious regard for the laws that we draw ourselves, and as well as to push the agenda of the ruling party and all other parties that are participating in our democracy. But we will get it right. At least we can also table a positive report to the House in terms of the situation regarding these 10 municipalities in the Eastern Cape and the improvements that we have achieved towards 2014. And I hope that the remaining 35 municipalities that we have not touched, once we have time, we'll visit you and select those who are still struggling, and together we can work together to achieve more, as the ANC usually says. So thank you very much, MEC. Thank you very much, SG, and your team. You have done a great job indeed, and we really appreciate that. And honorable members and all staff, thank you very much for your time, and this meeting stays adjourned. I thank you.